I am glad that we mentioned Marilyn and Casey by name in our announcement and also in our prayers. But in our private prayers, I'd like to also make mention of Maybell Castle and Mary Alice Terrell. Mary Alice has had problems for years and years and years, and we need to remember her more often than not in our prayers. She's very quiet about it. She's very sensitive about it. But I wish that you would remember her by name in your prayer. She was in and out of the hospital about three times last week, and I hope now they have that medication adjusted. And also Maybell, I guess Maybell has a special place in my heart. We grew up as infants in this congregation together. Maybell is very, very ill. She has a whole array of problems. She's also contagious, so if you go to see her, you have to gown up and glove up. I went in to see her today, and I knew she was feeling bad. I put my mask up on my eyes like this. She didn't even laugh. So I knew that she was not feeling well at all. But I look for her to be there at least a couple of more days. But please remember Maybell by name in your prayers also. I thought we had a wonderful worship service today, but I think that was about the best fellowship luncheon we've had in a long time. If you didn't stay, you really missed a wonderful. I'm glad that Kurt mentioned people going back for seconds. I won't say who it is, but she's sitting between Barry and Caleb. But there was someone there today. Not only I didn't see her go back for seconds, she was filling two plates at the same time. I don't know who that was. Two at the same time. So three at the same time. Okay. Our reading in just a moment is going to come from Philippians chapter 4. I think that probably all of us were here one time when we were encouraged by Robbie to place into our memory banks this passage of scripture from Philippians 4. And it is a perfect one for us to memorize. There are several passages over the years that I've encouraged you to memorize. In the future, I am going to include this one as well. It is a perfect passage of scripture. Now, Philippians 4, at least in my opinion, is a summation or a culmination of everything that the Apostle Paul has told the brethren there in Philippi. He reminds them of the teaching that he's made. He reminds them of the encouragement he's made. So everything that he has told them in those first three chapters, really he condenses and mentions again in this fourth chapter. Now, by way of introduction, let me also say this. If you are a history buff, and if you have run internet studies or library studies on the churches, the congregations, and the communities like Philippi, Ephesus, and so forth, you realize that Philippi was really a unique town. They were just overflowed with false deities. It was really confusing. And if there is a word that would describe first century Philippi, or at least during the time frame of Paul's letters, I would say it was crazy. It was just a crazy place to live. Brethren, the United States in 2017 is also a crazy place to live. And I don't use that word flippantly at all. We need to realize how crazy our world is. We need to realize how crazy our society is. We need to realize how crazy religion has gotten and make sure that we speak where the Bible speaks and remain silent where the Bible is silent. That we do things in Bible ways and call things by Bible names. That is not from Scripture, but it is certainly something we need to do. So our world is also crazy. Crazy beyond anything you and I would have even imagined. I remember it was 30 plus years ago now. My dad and I played golf two times every week. He would come to Palacios, we did that for years, and then we went out to Hatch Bend and did that for years, and we would get in the golf cart and we would start playing golf, and the first thing we would start talking about is the way the world has changed. Now remember, he was of the previous generation, the great generation, so he was coming from that standpoint. I'm from my generation, but we were in agreement. The world is just crazy. And it is 30 years crazier now than it was when my dad and I used to play golf. Things that we thought were good back then, now all of a sudden they're branded as bad. And some of the bad things, some of the worst things imaginable, dating back all the way to the beginning of human time, is now being promoted. So it reminds me of Isaiah 5, verse 20. Isaiah speaking for God, he says, "Woe unto you," or "cursed are you, if you call good evil, and if you call evil good." And that's the world in which we live. Now, using that as our introduction, I'd like to present a lesson entitled "Stand Fast in the Lord." That's going to be a phrase that we encounter in our reading in just a moment. Stand fast for the Lord. Now, brethren, for you and I as Christians, that shouldn't be difficult. We can stand fast for the Lord. We know what God tells us to do, and we need to do it. We know what he tells us to not do, and we need to not do it. And we should find all the joy and satisfaction that we need in this lifetime by simply standing fast for the Lord. Just remain faithful to the Lord. Now, that's the main purpose of the lesson, but there is an underlying purpose in this lesson. We have found it. We have found the joy of the Lord. We stand fast for the Lord, but we need to continue influencing the world so that they will see what we have already found and hopefully join us in our study of God's Word. Our reading is from Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse 4. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown," now here's our phrase, "stand fast in the Lord." Skip with me to verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men." That's our lifestyle. Let our lifestyle be recognized as the Christian lifestyle. "The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes or surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ." And then, finally, brethren, "whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do those things, and the God of peace shall be with you." Brethren, a Christian can be faithful even in this crazy world if we, as Paul says, stand fast in the Lord. Brethren, that Christian stand of which Paul speaks is one of the greatest blessings that you and I have. That standing fast of which Paul speaks can comfort us when sometimes nothing else will. Standing fast for the Lord means that we have given ourselves to the one that gave his life on the cross. And brethren, though it would be easy for you and I to agree with this, we would never in our lifetime multiplied by a million be able to pay Jesus back for what he did. Therefore, we need to stand fast in the Lord. We need to be faithful to the Lord. We need to continue developing that relationship. And maybe I talk too much about relationship, but I don't plan on stopping. We need to develop and nurture that relationship, not only with God and with Jesus, but with each other. Because as we discussed in the lesson this morning, we need the family of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we need to stand fast. Remember, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Now, there are several variations of definition in this phrase, stand fast. The one I want to begin with, at least, means to resist opposition, to stand fast, to stay firm in the Lord and resist opposition. One of my favorite verses is the last verse of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. "Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. When we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and when Paul talks about arming ourselves from head to toe with the whole armor of God, only armed with the whole armor of God can we stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, something else, though, that I gain from this passage is not only do we need to resist opposition, but in its place, we need to bring peace. Remember when we talked recently about the Beatitudes? My favorite is where Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. That's not saying that we just maintain the peaceful level that we have. That means we are making peace. When we find an area of our life or in the world that is not at peace, we need to bring peace to them. That's what Paul was talking about when he mentioned moderation. That's our lifestyle. We need to simply be seen as people of peace. I remember when I was much, much younger. We only had one television. I think I have a television in every room of my house now, but we only had one television. So Mama and Daddy and I always watched television together. Once a year on some Saturday night, it would be the Miss America, I think they called it back then, beauty pageant. I don't even think they call that anymore. The Miss America beauty pageant. And they would winnow those beautiful girls out, and then they'd have just maybe five or six left, and they would go around with the microphone and they would say, if you're selected as Miss America this year, during this year, what are you going to do? You're representing Miss America. What are you going to do as Miss America? Inevitably, every one of them said, I'm going to bring peace to the world. Now, that's a very noble thing, but it's just not practical. Therefore, if we acknowledge it's not practical to dream about or try to bring peace to the world, then we can be practical saying we can still bring peace to our surroundings, to our immediate surroundings, our church family, our workplace, our school place, when we go out shopping, we can do that. But here's the key to bringing peace to the world or bringing peace to our surroundings. We first have to make peace with ourselves. Brethren, that's something that a lot of Christians just have a difficult time doing. There's always more to do. I understand that. But if we are doing what we can do, if we are trying, then we are representing Christ correctly. God never said swim across the ocean. He never said climb Mount Everest. What he did tell us to do, we can do. And with faith, we can remove that mountain that stands in our way. With faith, we can be acceptable to Him. So in order to bring peace to those around us, we have to make peace with ourselves. And to do that, we have to be at peace with the Lord. We have to stand fast in the Lord. Solomon says in Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. In other words, we need to get along. Now, brethren, we're very, very, very fortunate in this congregation that we get along. Not all congregations by far are that way. We butt heads from time to time, but for the good of the congregation, the good of the Lord's church, we always get along. Now, I did not read verse 2 a moment ago. In Philippians 4, verse 2, Paul mentions by name two individuals who were not getting along. And notice what Paul says. I beseech them. I beseech you to help them. I beseech them. I beg them to get together. Be of the same mind. In other words, to get along. Brethren, we've just got to get along. I'm not saying we are not. I'm not saying we have drastic differences that have wedged us apart. But I'm saying, anytime we don't get along, we're harming the body of Christ. Because, you see, even if we're not getting along, we have the same goals to seek and save the lost. We have the same dreams getting to heaven. We have the same desires. We receive the same blessings from God. So again, getting back to that secondary purpose of this lesson, we need to let the world know that we get along with each other and we get along with God's word. And look at all the wonderful things that we have because of that. Psalm 29 verse 11, the Lord will give strength to his people. Philippians 4:4 again, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Now, let's branch out just a little bit. Let me make another point. Along with the things that we've talked about so far, another overriding principle in the scripture is trust. We need to trust God. In fact, the Bible tells us it's better to trust God than trust anyone else. Psalm 118, verse 8. So, along with what we've discussed, there has to be incorporated a desire to trust. We trust God. We trust Jesus. We need to trust each other as well. And there are a lot of little secondary, tertiary things that we can talk about from this as well. God wants us to be gentle people. He wants us to be meek. He wants us to be mild. He doesn't want us to allow the world to walk over us. But he wants us to be gentle. Philippians 4 verse 5, as much as it is possible, live at peace with all men. Hebrews 12:4, follow peace with all men. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, be at peace among yourself. Mark 9 verse 50, be at peace with one another. Now, brethren, I don't know if I've said enough for you to see this, but in your study of this chapter, there's an obvious pattern here. Paul is just going step by step by step. First of all, verse 4, rejoice. Second of all, verse 5, be peaceful. Third, verse 6, don't worry. Brethren, I believe that worry is probably a context that we have the most difficulty talking about. In fact, it's one of the things that's most difficult to preach about, because if someone is going into a serious surgery, someone has a serious illness, someone is making a serious trip where there might be danger, it's just natural to be concerned. And isn't that concerned worry? So I don't believe really the concept of worry is really the problem. The concept of worry that becomes a problem is when we don't trust God to see us through every situation. And even if the surgery is not successful, even if the illness takes a life, even if a journey causes problems, God is still there to comfort us. We need to trust in God. In other words, as we get to verse 7, don't worry, be happy. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. In other words, replace that worry with confident assurance. Confident assurance. God will work things out for good to them that love God. And then verse 8, fill your mind with good things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, whatsoever things are lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, and that means power, if there's any power, any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Brethren, do you realize if we are constantly thinking on good things, there's not going to be any room up here to think about bad things. If we're thinking about the good of life, the good of being a Christian, the good of opportunities to seek and save the lost, there's just not going to be any opportunity. Well, I'll say it this way. An idle mind has always been the devil's workshop. Therefore, Paul says we need to fill our minds with things that are good. It will keep us away from things that are bad. And if we give these good things our heart, God will protect our heart. And then Paul talks about being a proper example. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do those things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, brethren, don't take my next statement lightly. I'm very, very serious about this. I don't think we fully understand all the advantages of being a Christian. Notice this. Being a Christian means God loves us. Being a Christian means God is going to protect us. And being a Christian means God is going to usher us in to an eternity in heaven where we can't even begin to imagine how wonderful it is. So, yes, we live in a crazy world. Maybe we've got to be a little bit crazy to get along in this world. But what's really crazy is to not live under the guidelines of Almighty God, not live under His word. He has promised to protect us, not the world, not the government, not even family. He has promised to protect us and usher the faithful home. I want to extend the invitation. I did not specifically mention the first principles, but if anyone is here tonight and needs to be baptized or needs to come forward for any reason, remember it's Jesus that calls. If you need to, won't you come now as we stand and as we sing.